It's me, it's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James, and by my side, as always, is that B-A-double-D-A, double crooked letter, badass Billy Gunn. Together we are the New Age Outlaws, and you're listening to the VOC Nation, and if you ain't down with that, we've got two words for you. Suck it.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hey, thanks for joining me for another episode of Talking Sass. I am here with the wonderful, the talented Marty Bell. How are you doing, Marty?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's so good to get to talk to you again.
I know.
In forever.
We were like kind of reminiscing about this. It's literally been like, what, 5 years since we've seen each other?
I believe so, yeah. And it's crazy because at one point, like, I was staying at your house.
We were
on road trips all the time together. We were wrestling all the time. And then it was like, all of a sudden, I moved.
Yeah.
And it just
It's like you moved to a different country or something.
I mean, really.
Right?
It's crazy.
No, but it's really cool, though. I think that's part of the beauty of social media, though, is even though you've been gone for so long, it doesn't feel that way because I still get to catch up with, you know, what you're doing, your wonderful, beautiful little son, and just everything, you know. And I think it's easy to still feel like you're in touch with your friends because you still get to see what's going on in their lives.
100%. And you have just, like, let's say not even the last 5 years, like the last 10 years, you have just blossomed into this multimedia, I can do everything all the time and probably all at once at the same time, and you're just crazy. I can't imagine what your schedule is like. Even with COVID, you're still doing a gazillion things.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. I think it's hard. Like, sometimes you feel like you're not doing enough, or you feel like that you always want more. You know, you're always striving to do more. You're always striving to do a different project, bigger project. But sometimes I do have to, like, take a step back and be like, hey, I've done some cool stuff. Like, I have, and I've been very, very fortunate that even when I didn't think things were going to work out, or things didn't seem to be going, you know, the direction I wanted them to, at the end of the day, it always works out. So I have, even during the pandemic, I've gotten to do some really cool things. So I'm pretty optimistic, and I just kind of just keep pushing forward, hoping, trying to figure out what's next.
And I've noticed that, like, you always seem to be like, okay, this happened, but let's, you know, continue to move on. And you're just so optimistic about everything you do. And it's totally, let me just put it this way. There's not a lot of people in wrestling that are completely optimistic, like, all the time.
You know, and obviously, you know, we all go through stuff. There's obviously, you know, life isn't always perfect. But one thing that I've just learned over the years with acting, with wrestling, with life in general is, it's like that saying, you know, you get knocked down 7 times, you get back up 8. Like, that's kind of how I've always seen everything. I've gotten to do a lot of really cool things. I've lost a lot of really cool things also, but I always know there's something around the corner type of thing. So I'm very much like always like, all right, what's next? Let's do something. I hate being idle. I hate sitting and like not doing something. So I am always looking for like, what else can I do?
Yeah, definitely. And let's start from the very beginning, because something I found out while I was researching you is your name hasn't always been Marty Bell in wrestling.
Oh my God. There was one match. I had one match. I had one I started my training at WWE Hall of Famer's Johnny Rod's school in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But before I trained, I was a valet for him. I was a valet for about a year before I even started training. And so I, you know, the fans already knew me as Marty Bell. That was what the WWE universe knew me as, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I had this idea for like a show that I wanted to do like within the show. And I decided to change my name. Because some people do call me Izzy, like not a lot, but there are some people that call me Izzy. Like my mom always calls me Martina Isabel. So there is a little bit of like, I wanted to involve Izzy more. So I wrestled one show. I think it was literally my second match, maybe. I wrestled as Izzy Bell. And then I went, my trainer was right. He told me, he was like, that's stupid. Why are you going to change your name? And I was like, oh, because I have this idea. He was like, that's dumb. And he was right. So I wrestled one match as Izzy Bell.
But I think that's so interesting because, obviously I know you personally. So, like, I know a little bit Isabel apart. But, like, I don't see you as anything other than Marty Bell. Like, you are Marty.
He was right. He was 100% right. I should not have changed my name. And, I'm telling you, it's very, very, very few people that call me Izzy or that call me Isabel. And if somebody does call me Isabel, I'm usually like, do I know you? Like, excuse me? But, yeah, Definitely Marty. Definitely Marty's where I'm staying at. For the rest of my life, it's Marty.
Well, not soon after that second match, you actually debuted where I met you at WSU for the Mick at the time. Mm-hmm. And all I remember about that day, like, I know I met you in the beginning, like, hi, I'm Stephanie, hi, I'm Marty kind of thing. But, like, I watched your guys' match, you and Tina San Antonio, against the Boston Shore. And I remember you were set up in a corner, and Lish overhand chopped you across the chest. And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, I felt so horrible for you because that chop echoed through that whole building.
So, Alicia Edwards is tiny. I'm pretty small. I think you and me are about the same height.
Yeah, Lish, I think so.
Is smaller than we are. And one thing that Lish always said is that because she was always the smallest girl, because she always trained with bigger guys, she always felt like she had to put a little bit extra. I had my first match November of 2009, mm-hmm. and we debuted at WSU in March of 2010. So there really wasn't a lot of time in between. I really didn't have much experience working outside of my school, working with mostly Tina San Antonio. I think I had a match or two with, at the time, Roxy Cotton, now she's known as Gabby Gilbert. So I really didn't have much experience outside of, you know, wrestling training, basically. So that was a very, very rude awakening. Because it was a big show. It was an anniversary show.
It was.
Like, that was a pretty big show, and I think I may even have gotten concussed. That shit, like, it was a lot. Like, it was definitely, we were, like, thrown into the fire. But, I mean, fans liked us. So we didn't know what was going to happen. You know, that was the first time. That might have been, like, the second time that Tina and I had ever tagged. And we just had really good chemistry and eventually became WSU Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, and I mean, you went on to do a lot of stuff at WSU. I mean, you're the longest reigning Spirit champion with, I think I wrote down, 602 days.
Yeah.
That's wow.
I lost it on the 603rd day, I think it was. Yeah.
That's a crazy, especially for now, like, people seem to get bored so easily with someone as a champion. So, like, they seem to, like, every 2-3 months, they seem to, you know, recycle a champion. But you, I mean, almost whole years.
It's crazy to think about, too, because, like, for example, right now, I have been Shine Tag Team Champion for 365 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I've defended it once. I'm going to have my second title defense coming up, like, this week because of the pandemic, because we haven't had a show in a year. But I was wrestling consistently. I was defending the title consistently, which actually you were involved in the match that I won it, because I won it from Jess.
I know.
Yeah. So it cut off for a second, so I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I said. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe you were a part of that match. I believe you were involved in that match.
Marty.
I'm sorry, what?
I would never.
No, of course not. No, no, you were like such a sweet baby angel. You would never have gotten involved in that match.
Never.
So it's crazy to think about, like, just thinking back on those WSU days, thinking back of, you know, we started out at the Ace Arena and then moving to NYWC where you guys had your War Games match. Like, there were just so many good times about that WSU that I wish that we could, like, I feel like you should, like, there'd be a really fun podcast of, like a few of us just, like, reminiscing and talking about those days, because I feel like there's so much that we can talk about of, like, the original WSU.
Girl, that's a great idea, actually. I might steal that, and we'll get back to you on a time that we're going to record that one.
Yeah, I would. That would definitely be so much fun, because there were just so many, like, I feel like that's really where a lot of us started making a name for ourselves.
Definitely.
That's and it's crazy to think of, like, that's also where, like, we all met. That's really where I think, like, our bond started forming, and like look at us now, you know, like, so WSU definitely had a very, very special place in my heart, and I know that there's a lot of us that can say that as well.
100%. And speaking of WSU, on one of our trips, and you knew this was going to come up eventually, we were driving to WSU in the middle of the night. I think we left at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and around 10 a.m. we were driving, for those who don't know, the Pennsylvania area, to drive across it is a very long drive. And there's two ways you can go. If you're going to New Jersey, that is. So you can go down Pittsburgh on 76 and pay about $40-$50 in tolls one way, or you can take Route 30, which is a little bit more north, and it takes you about a half hour longer, but no tolls. So, of course, we prefer to go no tolls, because when you say, hey, I need $100
for
toll money, the promoter laughs in your face.
Yes.
So that's out your pocket. So we don't do that. So we take the extra half hour, we go Route 30. Well, that goes through Amish country. And on this particular day, around 10 a.m. in the morning, it was February, mind you, so it was very cold. Marty and I are sitting in the seats, and I'm driving. We're having a nice little conversation, and I happen to notice off on my right-hand side that there's a horse and buggy coming down the hill towards the traffic light, which for us is green. So I'm like, it'll stop, right?
Yeah.
It's a horse and buggy, no problem. So as I'm driving through the intersection, which I do have a legal green light, I'm like, oh, shit. I see this horse still coming at our car and literally at Marty Bell's head. And I'm like, so I press on the gas just a little bit so I could try to not get hit by this horse. And so I press on the gas. Not enough, though. I saved Marty Bell's life in this portion, though, because the horse hit my back.
His chest.
Yeah, with his chest, full on, and a horse is not a small animal. If you guys think horses are small, you don't know anything about horses. Hits the back passenger door, shatters the glass, rolls off my back trunk, and then does, like, I swear to God, I looked in the rearview mirror, and it was like a cartoon. I see this horse, like, fall on its stomach with, like, its legs and its arms. Well, I guess it's all legs, right? His four legs outstretched like this and just hit his chest on the ground. It looked like a cartoon. I feel like I was watching Wile E. Coyote, but then again, I was in shock, too. And I just look at Marty, and she's in shock. She's like, what the fuck just happened? And I'm saying the same thing. And I think we were just talking about horses too. Like, your grandmother or something had horses
my dad's a veterinarian in the Dominican Republic, so my parents, my family has always had a farm.
Yeah.
We've always had horses, and I was the only one in my family that didn't ride, but I love them. Like, they're, you know, beautiful, majestic creatures. Like, they're.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I also feel like this is something that, like, I'm such a firm believer in, like, everything happens for a reason and, like, type of thing, because so that road trip was supposed to be you, me, and Allison Kay. Allison Kay wrestled Friday night at AIW and got a stinger. She was already in Cleveland, so basically she was going to meet, you know, we're going to all meet or whatever, and then go from there. Well, Allison Kay took, like, a, I think it was, like, she took a pile driver or something, ended up getting a stinger in her neck, and I think she even ended up going to the ER or something. So she ended up being like, hey, guys, like, I'm not going to wrestle tomorrow. You know, what's the point in her driving 8 hours to not wrestle? Yes. So she ended up staying home. And I remember us, like, going crazy, like, texting everybody at one point. We had, like, Tom Dunn. I think we talked to, like, Eric Ryan. We talked to so many people about, like, getting in the car with us. And everybody was like, oh, yeah. Like, it was just such late notice. But that probably ended up saving somebody's life.
Oh, for sure.
Because if somebody had been sitting in the back seat, like, you know, if it was Allison and she would have been asleep, like, or just whatever, it would have ended very, very badly. I do remember, like, we pulled over and we're like, what the heck just happened?
Yes.
And then, like, I remember I was like, this is weird. I feel like I was kind of in shock. And then I saw the horse. And everybody fucking started bawling because the horse was dying. Like, he was dying there. And I think what happened, the guy who was, like, riding the buggy said he had a seizure or something and lost control. But it was like traumatizing. And then we had to go get a tarp to cut because we still had to keep driving. We still had to wrestle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's so crazy to think about, like, we just got into a car accident with a horse. And we, like, went to, like, Home Depot and got tarp to cover that back window because it was, like, blown out. And then we drove and wrestled. And then we, like, turned around and went home. Because I don't remember, we didn't end up staying, did we?
No. And it was funny because I decided that I was not going to drive Route 30 that night. I was going to take the toll road, even if I didn't get the tolls, because I didn't want to come in contact with any more.
Yeah, we're like, we're a little traumatized. It's just, it's crazy. Like, I was in another really bad car accident a few years later, also coming home. Well, this was coming home from New York into Ohio. And it's just, it's so crazy to think about, like, we were on the road so much. We were in cars so, so much that you really, like, I feel like you don't, there, thankfully, there's not as many car accidents as you would think happen because we spend so much time on the road. We spend so much time in these cars and driving through the night, you know, driving late, being tired, all of this, and I'm just very, very fortunate, like, to have, you know, knock on wood, made it out of every single one of those situations alive.
Well, when I was talking to AK on one of the episodes earlier, she mentioned, we were talking, she's like, I'm sure you're going to bring this up with Marty Bell. And I was like, of course, talking about the horse accident. But she said, like, you feel like your grandmother is always looking over you. And I know that's something that you have felt many different times in your life.
When that happened, she was still alive. But actually, when the last car accident happened, I was driving with my then boyfriend, Matthew Justice, and it was a really, really bad car accident. Like, that one was, like, bad. I was driving, it was really late at night. It was because we were rushing back because I had shine the next day. So we wrestled in New York on Thursday, and I had shine on Friday. But I was flying out of Ohio. So we were, like, literally rushing back. And I don't know what happened. I literally, I hit the rumble strips, and then all of a sudden I lost control. When I was talking about it to somebody, they're like, it sounds like something snapped in the car because I literally just could not control the car. Like, the wheel was, like, doing this. And so we ended up spinning. we ended up spinning out and then smashing into a wall, and then a semi truck hit us. Like, it was.
But I don't remember that part.
Yeah. So a semi, so another time, Matt actually saved my life because he remembered that we had just passed the semi. So literally seconds before the semi hit on my side, Matt reached over and pulled me towards him. And literally seconds later, the semi smashed into the car.
Wow.
And both of us walked out. Both of us were able to walk out. The weird thing is when both of us were spinning, when we were spinning, I remembered like this white light around us. And he said when we finally stopped, the first thing he thought of was his grandfather, who was like, his grandfather to him is like what my grandmother is to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like very weird. And then we were talking about it later. Like, I didn't say anything to him about it because I was like, oh, that's crazy. Like, it's pitch black outside. There was no way there was a white light around us.
Right.
And he brought it up, and I was like, I saw the same thing too. So I don't know, like, I'm sure you feel your mother around you all the time.
And,
like, I'm sure that there's people watching this that are going to be like, all right, whatever. But I don't know, like, there's some people that you have a connection with that they're your guardian angels, and they continue, and this has nothing to do with religion. It's a feeling I have. I feel like my grandmother is always with me. I feel her at different times. I'm sure that you feel your mom in the same way. And thankfully that day, Matt's grandfather was like looking out for us, because we should not have been okay. We really should not. Like, people kept stopping. I feel like I was kind of in shock. I was kind of just like very much like, oh, what the hell just happened? And I was just kind of standing around. And then when the police came, they were talking to us, and the cop looked at me and he was like, you guys should have died. And I started bawling because it was like, oh my God, you're right. Like, we literally could have just died. Like, coming, like, it was so, I don't know, like, I know there have been a couple of, like, really bad accidents in the last few years that I can think of with, like, wrestlers, you know. Mm-hmm. We spend so much time on the road that it is very, like, wonderful to think of that there aren't, thankfully, more car accidents, like, because it's a lot of time, you know.
Yeah, it's scary when you think about it too, because like, I mean, you said you've been in these two accidents. I know there was one time I was coming home from Shimmer, and I was with my friend Diana, and there was a car where it's the middle of the day too. Like, this is like, I don't know, like 2 or 3 in the afternoon after we left Shimmer, and we're almost back home, and a car, there's nobody else on the road, but cuts me off on the turnpike in Ohio as we're going back home, and like, I had to jerk my wheel, and I spun a couple times, or else they would have hit me. And then I had a semi come up behind me and stop, because I, like, once I spun, I was still in the middle lane. So he stopped so that nobody else would hit me. And the cop was like, it's a good thing that the semi guy stopped, or else we would have had to give you a ticket for failure to control your car or something. I don't know what it was. But I was like, I didn't even do anything. Like,
you're like, excuse me, sir. Like, I just avoided something. It's, it's wild.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. It really is crazy. Like, not to like bring, you know, let's talk about shit down. We'll talk about something like really happy in a minute. You know, we'll bring this back up. But
I still have things to talk about with WSU. And there was one thing I wanted to ask you about, because I remember you telling me this story at WSU, or maybe it was on one of our road trips, but you have this gorgeous hair that like is so you and so unique. And I believe, if I remember the story correctly, people told you before like you got started, or right around the time you got started, to never have your hair like you have it. You should always straighten it. And I just think that's so asinine and so sexist.
So some of it is cultural. There in the Dominican Republic, things are changing. Things are thankfully changing a lot. But growing up, this was literally called pelo malo, bad hair. Like, this was ugly hair. It was gross. And you did everything in your power to not have your hair look like this. So growing up, I had to relax my hair. I remember literally when I was 9, I was going to do my first communion. My grandmother took me to the hair salon. And she was like, unless you relax her hair, we're not doing her hair anymore. Because it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work because this is to go from this to, like, pin straight is a lot of work. And they just didn't want to do it, so they didn't make me to relax my hair. But I stopped relaxing it because I realized, oh, I can straighten my hair without having to chemically straighten it. Like, I can still achieve that look without chemicals. But then when I was at Johnny's, I remember there was one day I came in and one of the guys who was like a producer for Johnny literally told me, he was like, oh, I liked your hair better last time when it was straight. It looked more professional. So that kind of got in my head. And if you, anytime I had a big match, so not our debut, my hair was curly for my debut, but like the day that we were like up for the titles, the day that Jazz and I became tag team champions, my hair was straight. Anytime that I knew that I had a big match or I knew I had like a big event, I always straightened my hair. And I don't know what happened. Like, literally, one day, I just decided to not straighten my hair anymore. And I started showing up to shows like this, and people started taking more notice of me. And that's actually part of how I ended up at Impact. You know, one of the writers said he knew me for years. He had known me from, like, being around Ring of Honor, doing tryouts at Ring of Honor and stuff. And he just thought that he was like, yeah, I saw you look like a pretty girl, but, like, there was nothing that stood out about you. You were just, like, another pretty girl. And so I started kind of just like wearing my hair like this and kind of just like being myself. And eventually I ended up, you know, getting tryouts at Impact, eventually ended up signing with Impact. And yeah, like I haven't straightened my hair. It's been years. I know I did it for my grandmother's funeral, which was 4 years ago. So that might've been it. It might've been 4 years since I've straightened my hair.
Wow, like for me, I mean, obviously I knew you at that time and I knew when you were tag champions with Jazz and everything, but like this is so iconically Marty.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you stopped like doing that because it's like you're still the same person, but like the personality, I guess, is different.
Yeah, it is.
I remember at Shimmer, you're coming out with the hairspray. I was loving that. I was like, this is so awesome.
There's just so much more to play with, and it's different, and it's really cool. I've had like girls come up to me at shows, like fans, and even other wrestlers. There's a girl out of Iowa who one day like randomly messaged me, and she was like, "Just so you know, like when I saw you and like I saw you with your natural hair, you're this like, you know, like." Proud Afro-Latina, and you're like, you know, you're yourself. She's like, that made her feel like, oh shit, I can do this too, because I don't look like everybody else. I don't look like every other girl that, you know, especially at the time when I started.
Mm-hmm.
So I it is pretty cool, and it's like cool. I've had like fans at Shimmer come up to me and be like, yeah, I went natural for you, and I'm just like, really? That's awesome. That's pretty cool. It's really exciting. It's a lot of work sometimes. Sometimes it really annoys me, but, you know, I'm very, very happy. I need a haircut real bad right now because it looks like I have, like, I don't know what's going on. There's, like, all sorts of things going on. There's all sorts of shapes going on, but.
Oh, I love it. Me, who has, like, zero volume and is pinned straight all the time,
yeah.
I would love to have some.
Yeah.
Like,
the hair is always, somebody told me one time, like, the hair is always shinier on the other side. And I was like, you're right. You know, girls with straight hair want curly hair. Girls with curly hair are like, I wish my hair was straight. So, gotta have fun with it.
Everybody can't win. Like, even when like, I try to do, like, curls and make it super cute, it always falls within, like, 2 hours. And I'm like, work for nothing.
And that's part of why I haven't straightened my hair. Because I am curious. Like, so curly hair is very deceptive. Like, mm-hmm. It looks very short, but, like, it's really long. Like, it's really long, so I've been curious about it, and I have wanted to straighten it and just see, like, just to see how long it is, just to see what it looks like. But with training and going to the gym and all that, there's no point, because literally I will straighten my hair, and in an hour I'll sweat, and then it's no longer straight. So I'm just like, whatever, I don't know, maybe I'll straighten it sometime. I don't have any plans anytime soon, but well, I don't know, one day maybe I'll get bored and straighten it, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Now, you've mentioned that you tagged with Jack, which, I mean, has to be amazing. But, I mean, you've had, like, amazing tag partners your entire, like, career. Because, I mean, of course, you were with Tina Santonio first. Mm-hmm. You also have Jazz. When you were at Impact, you were tagging with Jade, which we also know as Mia Yim. And you were part of the Dollhouse with Karen Terrell and Rebel. I mean,
Kong at one point, awesome Kong. Yeah. Like,
even now, you're, you know, Shine Tag Team Champion with Jamie Jameson. I mean, girl, you just
and
it all.
And Allison and I are also tag team.
I was going to bring that up too. Yeah, you and Allison are tagging as the Hex at Shimmer.
Yeah.
You guys did that at the Collective.
Yeah.
And, I mean, right now, let's just talk about that real quick, because you're still wrestling at shows. Even just this past week, you were wrestling on a show. What is it like right now with COVID restrictions and everything going on?
Man.
A professional wrestler still performing in front of a crowd.
It's wild. I was like, trying to do the math, and so 2020, we did Impact tapings, which actually I only wrestled one night of during the Impact tapings, because I don't think I wrestled the pay-per-view. So I only wrestled one night, and then I wrestled, holy cow. And then I think I wrestled in Atlanta, and then I wrestled at Shine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And then I wrestled at the Collective two times. So in 2020, I think I had 5 matches.
That's crazy.
I have never, and like, when I first started, I could have 5 matches in one weekend. Like, that's, it's insane. And so, obviously, like, I was itching for it. Like, so when the Collective happened, I had 2 matches in the Collective. I was out for the Culture, and I had Shimmer. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy with the way that the Collective was run. They definitely did a really good job with taking care of talent and taking care of fans. We had a huge, huge locker room, so everybody could socially distance. Masks were required. You know, this unfortunately is our current reality, and we don't know how long this is going to be our reality. So you have to adapt. Another cool thing I got to do a few years ago, and I also got to do it during the pandemic, which is also wild, is I was on a TV show for Telemundo, and we had a saying that we would say amongst ourselves is, el que no se adapta muere. If you don't adapt, you will die. And as, like, morbid as that sounds, like, think about it as a business. Right now, how many businesses have had to adapt the way that they work, the way that they're ran, in order to – this is – and I hate when I hear this term, like, our new reality, but it is. Unfortunately, this is – and we don't know how long this is going to be our reality, so we have to learn how to work around it. So this past weekend was another weekend where – like if you were up from your seat, you could only be up from your seat if you were buying something or if you were going to the restroom. You couldn't be like milling around. Everybody had a seat that they had to be at. Masks had to be worn. People were sitting. They sold tables so that you could, like, if you had a family, like families could sit together. Chairs were spaced out, and the weirdest thing was coming down to the ring and, like, not being able to touch people. I make sure I always have a test before I wrestle. And obviously, like, it's not foolproof because you can get tested today and then, God forbid, tomorrow, you know, mm-hmm. get COVID. And it's just, you have to do the best that you can. This is my job. So, like, and that's the thing, like, especially before the pandemic, literally all I was doing was acting and wrestling. So when people are like, well, you should get a job, I'm like, this is my job. Like, this is what I do. Like, this is what I've done for all these years. This is what I've worked for. Even, like, acting. I filmed a commercial for Hotels.com during the pandemic. Literally the day I came back from the Collective, I filmed this commercial. And, yeah, everybody had to bring a negative COVID test. We were told that makeup and hair was going to be done on set. So I showed up with 0 makeup. I showed up, like, just ready to go. And because of COVID, we ended up not having any makeup applied. So, like, there's this commercial that's airing all over the world, and Marty Bell has 0 makeup. Like, I don't even have, like, mascara on. I'm like, all right, like, this is what they want. And it was, like, strange. Like, everything was filmed. As you know, everybody on set had to wear masks or socially distance. And then the client was actually watching through Zoom. Like, they had the client, you know, hotels.com, the whoever was in charge was at home watching through a, like, it was just the strangest thing, but we have to continue. Like, as entertainers, as performers, we have to continue in the way that we can. And obviously you want to be as safe as possible. You want to take every precaution. And yeah, it's wild. It's wild. But like, I, after my match, I literally just wanted to sit there and cry. Because it just felt like, and it makes me like emotional even thinking about it now, like when you've dedicated your life for so long to something and it's what you love and having that taken away from you. And obviously we've all lost a lot of things. Like 2020 was hard, you know, there were really good moments. I was able to find some really cool, good moments, but like, you know, I've lost loved ones. Like it was hard. It was definitely very hard. And wrestling was such a big part of my life. Wrestling was like, it's the longest relationship I've ever been in my entire life. You know, so it's crazy. And I feel like I'm rambling and I'm like, don't cry. So having a little bit, like just for those 10 minutes of me being in the ring and feeling like everything was, it just felt like everything was all right in the world again, you know? And then you come back to reality and you're like, COVID's still a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I mean, like you said, you have been extremely busy even with COVID. I mean, you mentioned the show that you did for Telemundo, which is definitely something I want to talk to you about, because you did a season there, and then you came back for another, you said during the pandemic, you went back for another, I think, what was it, two episodes you did there?
No. So the first season, I was a part of the first ever cast, the United States cast. And then second season, I got invited back for two episodes. For this season, which was the fourth season,
okay,
I ended up doing a tournament, which took 3 weeks.
Wow.
But it literally was like, I got called on Monday, and they were like, hey, we have this idea that we kind of want to do. It's like basically like the veterans versus like, you know, type of thing. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like fun. Like, let me know, like, if this is an idea. And then I got called the next morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, and she was like, hey, can you fly today? And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? She's like, yeah, you fly out today. And so it was just wild. We ended up flying to Miami. We got put into a hotel. We got COVID tested. And then from there, we flew in a private jet. So I got to fly in a private jet. I got to like cross that off my checklist. We flew in a private jet into a private airport to basically just try to avoid, you know,
mm-hmm,
as much as possible. And then once we got there, we had to go through testing again, and then we got tested every week. And thankfully, all of us, like, made it out. I came in, I was a runner-up from the girls, and it was just wild. Like, it was just such a crazy experience. Exatlón, like, completely changed my life. It completely changed. It changed everything. It changed doing the show, made me realize how much I loved wrestling and how much I didn't want to be away from it. And I met so many incredible people that, like, even today, like, still motivate me and still push me and still, like, just make me want to be a better wrestler, because all of us were from different disciplines. You know, we had Olympic gold medalists. We had, like, UFC fighters. My team had, like, parkour people, like, models. Like, it was such an eclectic group of people, but it just worked. And, yeah, it was insane. I definitely did not expect to be going back, especially during a pandemic. So, it's like that thing. It's such a cliche, but it's like, you know, stay ready so you don't got to get ready type of thing. And that's honestly what it came down to, because I had a day's notice to go compete, and I did, and I killed it because I was like, I stayed ready type of thing, you know?
Okay. I mean, you have so many talents. I mean, I even looked at, I do research on everybody, obviously, but like you have lots of information out there. And one of the things on your LinkedIn is your actual like resume of everything you've done. And I was like, holy shit, man, I didn't even know Marty did half of this stuff that she did. And I've been friends with her for years.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been a host. You've been a backstage interviewer. These things I knew. Commercials, acting, you are in music videos. Of course, you mentioned the hotels.com commercial recently. Yeah. I mean, what? Is there a hidden talent that you have that nobody knows about or that most people don't know about?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You put me on the spot. I just got real hot. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I've loved entertainment since I was like a little kid. Believe it or not, I used to be like really shy when I was little. If you looked at me for too long, I would literally start crying type of thing. Like that's what I'm known for in my family, is like being the crybaby, being like super emotional. But I also think I am very emotional, and I am somebody who feels very deeply. But I also think that that's also kind of like a benefit, because I feel like it lets me experience, like, I experience the highs of the highs, I experience the lows of the lows, but it lets me experience life. And one thing that I've always loved is performing. And any way I can take that, obviously our in-ring career has to come to an end at some point, you know. Unless you're Ric Flair, and then you can still bump when you're 90, like, you know, who knows, you know. But for the most part, I'm always thinking about what's next. There's so many things that I love. I got the opportunity to work in MMA, like to do backstage for MMA. I got to be backstage correspondent in the first ever event in the Dominican Republic. That's like huge that I got to do that. And it's something that I really do love, and I would love to keep doing more of. I would love to keep acting. I'm working on a couple projects now, like writing and directing. There's just so much. I don't know. I just feel like, man, you only have one life.
Yeah.
Anything that like brings out a fire in you, anything that you're passionate about, or anything that even just seems interesting, like something that you want to try, like, fuck it, man. Like, what's the worst that can happen? You fail? Okay. Like, is that the end of the world? Like,
right.
I don't know. I guess I've never been, I feel like I'm more afraid of success than I am of failure, if that makes sense.
Wow. Interesting.
I just had that epiphany. I feel like I'm more afraid of success than I am of failure. So, like, if it doesn't work out, then, like, oops. Like, all right, cool, what's next, you know? So, yeah, I'm always looking. I'm very, like, hyperactive. I always want to be doing something, so.
Well, I even wrote that down in my notes, like, what's next for Marty Bell? But, like, I feel like instead of, like, you know, Goldberg says who's next, I feel like Marty should be like, what's next?
What's
like,
next?
What avenue of entertainment is she going to go into next?
You know, haven't made any Hollywood movies yet, so maybe that's next. I don't know. Like, I love entertaining. I love entertainment. I want to do everything. Like, there's really nothing that I'm not married to one thing. Obviously, like, wrestling will always be my, like, my love, and wrestling is, like, I love wrestling. Like, obviously, this is, like, I can't let it go. Like, but also, if anything, I cheated on acting with wrestling. I started acting when I was, like, 7. Eight. The first time I was ever in a production, I was 8. So, really, I cheated on acting with wrestling, and I fell in love with wrestling, and, but I was also able, because I'm actually like classically trained. Like, I went to acting school, I graduated, did all that cool stuff, and then I just took a long break from acting. I don't know, I was just burnt out, and I decided to, you know, that's when I started wrestling. But like, what has always been my strong suit in wrestling is my talking. It's my personality and all that, and a big part of that is just bringing everything that I've learned in acting and bringing it into wrestling and kind of marrying the two. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I think there's so many great people within the wrestling business that do take acting classes or have moved on to do acting because they're so intertwined. I mean, like, when a lot of people say that wrestling is fake to me, like, I'm always like, we're just stunt people that don't have a wire. Like, literally. So
yeah.
I feel like acting and wrestling are kind of one of the same. If you have that bigger personality, you can transform that into some kind of acting for you, whether it's on stage, like at a theater, or, you know, like The Rock and John Cena have done the Hollywood.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't, and that's the thing, like, I was talking to a friend about that. Like, sometimes I don't do a lot of interviews, because especially now, it's tough when, like, you know, when I just wrestled in Nebraska, I had so many people coming up to me being like, all right, so where are you signing? Like, what's next? And I'm like, you'll find out soon. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, shit, I hope I find out soon, you know? So I don't know what's next. I'm working, and that's, and to me that's like the important thing. I get up every day with the intention of making something happen, whether it happens tomorrow or it happens in 3 months. I know something is going to happen because I'm going to keep working towards something happening. And the only time that you're guaranteed to not be successful or not make something happen is when you stop. Mm-hmm. And I don't stop. So I'm a little energized, bunny. So something's got to work. So
definitely. Well, Marty, it's been amazing talking with you, and I know I could talk with you for hours.
I know.
Done it in the car many, many a time. But let's tell everybody all your social media, where they can find you, and that's about it.
So you guys can catch me on Patreon. I'm also on Patreon, patreon.com/MartyBell. My Twitter that I never use, but I'm going to try using more this year, is MartyBell, and Instagram is where I interact with people more. Instagram is where you can really, really find me. And it's Marty.Bell, and it's B-E-L-L-E. Make sure there's an E on the end. But, yeah, Patreon is definitely I don't know how you feel about it, but I've had a lot of fun creating on Patreon. I definitely feel like, especially during the pandemic, I feel like this was very helpful because it made me, when I was stuck at home not doing anything, it made me be like, oh, I got to put makeup on today because I want to take some pictures, and I'm not going to spend all day in my pajamas watching Netflix. So it's definitely been a lot of fun, and I'm really glad to have this platform. So I'm excited. It's going to be cool.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Marty. You're awesome. And
thank you.
See you guys next time.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
Since 2012, HIAC Talk Radio has been bringing you the best of independent wrestling and wrestling on the worldwide scale with interviews and other segments now featuring The Wrestling Historian with Craig Ligon every Thursday night at 6 p.m. at VOCNation.com, or go to your Android or iPhone and type in VOC Nation Radio Network and subscribe to the greatest wrestling podcast network in the world. Listen to HIAC Wrestling Podcast today.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.